I'm not going to sit here and pretend that every day's been easy. It's been a tough old ride. And if I was to compare my life now to what it was like when I saw you back in the studio, I walked into the studio. I'm sitting here today in my house in a wheelchair. You know, I can't stand up out of this wheelchair. I can't do anything by myself. I've got carers coming 4 times a day. They get me up in the morning, washed, dressed, dried. They feed me every single meal. They make me every single meal. There is so little that I can now do by myself. And to pretend that that's easy, to accept that, to move on and live your life, it's difficult. But at the back of your mind, you've got to continually tell yourself that this is as healthy as I'm ever going to be. It's a progressive disease, so I'm only going to get worse. So I need to get out and enjoy what time I've got. And I've done some amazing things over the last year. I've went on an amazing holiday to Washington. I've got a tour of the West Wing. My now husband, proposed to me. I got married. I walked down the aisle. And that was one of the very last times that I walked, was down the aisle to say, I do.
And you had J.K. Rowling there watching you. And me.
Yeah, and you, and you. Absolutely, that was
And that was an amazing day
an
in
absolute
so many
highlight.
ways, and I think everybody there lived every moment with you both. But have there been points since then where you've actually been aware of a deterioration? I mean, it's obviously a gradual thing, but have there been any points that stick in your mind?
The most recent thing that I've noticed is my breathing. I get breathless even talking. When I first spoke to you, I don't think I had a ventilator at all, or I was just using it through the night. Now I have to use it during in the mornings, in the afternoons, just to catch a breath, just to stop me dozing off and falling asleep. And every part of my body is so weak now. My lungs, my breathing muscles, everything is weak, so I'm not getting the air to my body. So I'm tired and I can be lethargic and things can be difficult. But look outside, it's a glorious sunny day here in Edinburgh. I live right next to a park, I love just taking Joe out for a walk around the park and seeing the world go by. We've got married in the last year. We've been on some amazing holidays. We went on our honeymoon to Paris. We've eaten some amazing food. We've spent some really quality, special time together. I've seen more of my niece and nephew than ever before. And they're growing up and becoming real little cheeky little characters. It's fascinating to see them grow up. I've had a lot of fun. I've done a lot for personally, but then also with my campaign. So I'm quite chuffed. It's been a busy year, it's been a hard year, but I wouldn't have changed it.
The fact that Joe's at work and your carer isn't here, do you sometimes feel though that you're almost imprisoned? That if you fancy going out, you can't do it by yourself?
Yes and no. I spend less and less time on my own. I had a really nasty fall where, believe it or not, I was trying to open the curtains with my teeth, which was perhaps foolish, but I fell out of my
First
wheelchair.
time for everything.
Yeah, your hands don't work. You've got to adapt and you've got to think of different ways of doing things. And I was trying to open the curtains and I fell flat back out of my wheelchair, got mangled and all tangled up in the foot plates, and I was lying on the floor screaming in agony for about 4 hours, 5 hours. It was, that's what happened to begin with when I was on my own. I'm a lot more careful now. And I don't particularly like being on my own for hours at a time. So I've got carers coming every few hours. I've got a watch that I can make phone calls from. I've got an alarm constantly around my neck. And, I know that the carers are never going to be far away.
Well, when we last talked, you talked about adjusting to a new version of normal. That normal presumably changes on a week-by-week basis. What's normal now?
What's normal now? It's life in a wheelchair. It's life dependent on machines to get me from sitting to standing. It's machines to help me breathe. It's people to help me eat. It's people to help me with every single aspect of my life. There is so little that I can do independently. But that doesn't mean my life is impossible. You know, it just means that this is me now, and I can still get out and about and enjoy life, despite with the huge amount of support that I now have.
You still seem incredibly positive, but there must be moments of utter frustration where you just want to scream. Do you do that?
From time to time, you get intensely frustrated when you're suddenly unable to do something that you've been able to do for your entire 31 years, you know? When you suddenly realise that even picking up your phone and sending a text message takes, you know, 10 minutes. It's infuriating. It drives you mad. It's silly things. You know, I really struggle to brush my teeth by myself. I can't put contacts in anymore. You know, it's all these silly little things where your life just has to adapt and has to change. And, you know, it always comes when you're not quite ready. I've said before that life with MND is like a conveyor belt with challenges just coming at you. You know, at times it feels like that conveyor belt's really speeding up. The challenges are getting bigger and my body is weaker in how it responds. So things are getting more difficult, of course they are. But I've still got a life that's worth living. And I'm grateful for every day that I've got.
And has the... I don't know exactly what your prognosis was when you were first diagnosed, but we're now sort of quite a long way on from that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that you have... that your health has deteriorated more slowly than you were expecting, or...?
Yeah. On average, people die within 14 months of diagnosis. I'm now over 2 years. So I've outlived the expectations. I've outlived the average. And I think that's an amazing thing. I feel hugely lucky. This wasn't in the plan.
No.
This wasn't what I was expecting. I didn't particularly expect to be here at this point. But here I am. And... you know, what an amazing thing it is.
When we last spoke, you told me that the thing that you were most frightened of was losing your voice.
Mm.
Is that still the thing that you fear most?
I think it is. But as you can hear today, I've still retained my ability to communicate. I've been lucky. The majority of people do lose their voice, and somebody who likes to talk and somebody who has opinions. That would be an incredibly difficult thing. Imagine not being able to say, I love you, or being able to say, help, or can I have a cup of tea? You know? There are ways around it, and there are communication devices, and, you know, people can speak using their eyes and computer things, but nothing compares to being able to use your voice and speak as you, and, you know, it still scares me thinking about that. But
and is it something that you know is going to happen? I mean, it's
not for sure, not for certain. It doesn't happen to everyone. It happens to 90-odd% of people. But fingers crossed, I'll be spared.